being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Praise God. He stretched it out. His hand was restored, as whole as the other hand. Verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might actually kill him or destroy him in his life, in his ministry. You're going to realize again that in the Bible, when you ever see any kind of a story there about anything that Jesus Christ or God is doing, there's always a bigger picture that God's trying to portray to us prophetically than just the very act of what God does miraculously in this scripture. I want to give you the story again, just an illustration of that, about, again, Elijah on Mount Carmel, where it shows how Elijah's been chased by Jezebel. He's totally worn out. He wants to give up and quit and die. And God says, kneel down here upon Mount Carmel. When he does that, we find there's an earthquake, there's lightning, there's rocks bursting all around him, there's thunders going on, all kinds of chaos and noise all around Elijah the prophet. But the Bible says God was not in the earthquake, the lightnings, the thunders, and all the splitting of rocks around him. Then it says what? Then came a still, small voice. And God was in the still, small voice. Why did God do that? God was showing Elisha his soul. Your soul is full of explosions. It's full of anger. It's full of confusion. It's full of all kinds of noisy things. I'm going to show you your soul first, Elijah. Then I'm going to show you me, because I'm calm. I'm collected. I'm cool. I have no problems. I am not fearful. I am not about to have a nervous breakdown like you are. And I'm going to talk to you right now in a still, small voice to show you my nature, not your nature. So in this story here about Jesus Christ, who goes to the man from the synagogue with a withered hand, the hand throughout the entire Bible stands for the authority of God and the abilities of God. He's trying to show the Pharisees, those folks that are bound by religion back there, you guys have a withered hand. You've lost your authority for God. You've also lost your abilities to touch the masses of the power of God upon this earth. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. Nobody's getting set free. Nobody's being transformed. Nobody's being helped out because your hand of authority and ability is withered and needs to be healed and restored. So when Jesus Christ heals this man's hand, he goes far beyond just that one man getting healed. He's speaking a message to the Pharisees and Sadducees and those that are religious in this hour and season as well. So this hand again is healed. This is an example again of how authority and ability also can be restored in our lives by Jesus Christ's touch and Jesus Christ's powers. I'm going to give you guys now again some take-home points to write some things down this morning. You have something to write these things down with, because I believe God wants to give us, first of all, some truths about restoration. How many folks realize the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and then the truth will then set you free? We're going to release again today some truths and principles from God's Word that really can set you free from things that God has seen in your life that might be withered, that God wants restored back into your heart and life once again. I believe God's anointing is here in this place today to do that very thing. Amen. Number one, restoration should be a part of every church service. Restoration should be a part of every church service. If you come and in this place and then go out the way you came in, you did not tap into what God was doing here among us at Tree of Life Church. Amen. The very praise and worship songs we sang this morning have the power for restoration inside your life. The Bible says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that God's praises, God's worship that goes out of this place into your hearts and up to God's throne can actually take the heavy bands and the heavy cloak off of your life of heaviness and give you a garment of praise in its place. Amen. God gives beauty for ashes. God gives joy for mourning. These things can all take place right during the times of praise and worship in services like this morning on a Sunday morning at Tree of Life Church. Also, as God's Word goes forth from this pulpit, as you pray for folks in the altars, as you do things here among each other in the congregation, God is wanting to restore something in your life every time we come together in this place, as only God can do. The good news is, when Jesus Christ shows up, anything is possible. I believe anything's possible every time we come together, because we have the living God living inside of us. We really are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why when Cheryl gets up here and she sits, it's kind of quiet. Cheryl's pretty prophetic. Cheryl can sense things like most prophetic folks can in the atmosphere of rooms like this. She senses perhaps sometimes lulling, a deadness of spirit, kind of a sleepness, kind of a somberness going on there. And she knows that God cannot do what God wants to do unless you guys wake up and get tuned into the realm of the spirit and out of the flesh and out of the soulish realm inside your life primarily. Amen? And I realize you guys have gone through places. You've gone through workplaces out there where folks were self-centered. They were telling dirty jokes. You might have saw movies and stuff that were full of all kind of profanities and cuss words and blood and guts and whatever else. You've seen things around you that just puts junk all over your soul sometimes throughout the entire week. So to come into a place like this for 30 minutes and say, now I'm in the heavenly realm, is not always easy to do. That's why we do study, we do pray for hours every week. So you can come into this place like this for at least 2 hours on a Sunday morning and see God do something to transform your lives somehow, some way, and loose a hunger inside of all of us to become more like Jesus is throughout the week. Amen? Because God has good things for his people when we come together in Jesus' name. Okay, the man was told by Jesus Christ here, go ahead first of all and step forward. God has grace on the humble, going out and doing things themselves, first of all, publicly. So God will call us almost every time, does something inside of our lives, miraculous or of a healing, whatever else, to always do things in a public type way, again, most of the time. Why do we have public altar calls? Why do we have this thing that's taken place now for decades where we had the old Billy Graham crusades, we sang the song, Just As I Am, we had folks walk down the aisles of football and baseball stadiums by the thousands. They walk down to the front there and then receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why do we do that? I asked God that exact question back about 30 years ago. I said, Father God, why do we have altar calls and are supposed to come out of their seats and come to the front and pray the sinner's prayer, we call it, to accept Christ as Savior? And the Holy Spirit gave me a vision very fast to show Jesus Christ walking in front of all the people with a cross on his back. Blood coming down his face, being whipped, being spit at, being ridiculed, being called names. All the things that Christ went through was done publicly in front of all the peoples on both sides of the street of Jerusalem that day. And God said, what my son did publicly in humility and embarrassment and shame, he now has paid the price for us to come forward publicly and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, with folks around them clapping and cheering and saying, praise God, a person is now born again and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, God is so good that God has us come out of our seats, come to the front around folks that love us, respect us, are glad for us, are cheering us on, not spitting on us, reviling us, smacking us, and calling us names like Christ himself went through. He paid the price for us to get out of our seats, come to the front, and become born again. Amen? So not all folks get saved like that. I realize that. That doesn't cheapen your salvation at all if you got saved like I did in a bedroom someplace. But I'm saying again, we do have altar calls and call folks to the front, and I think it's very scriptural, it's very spiritual, and God smiles on that. Amen? Number two, restoration ministry provokes hostility. Restoration ministry provokes hostility. The Pharisees were more concerned with their own religious rules, rituals being broken than a man with a withered hand being healed. You notice that in the scriptures. I found that God has more tolerance for a little bit of a wonky doctrine and doing things sometimes a little bit out of order, as opposed to having no love for people in our church services. God has more tolerance for a little bit of wonky doctrine and a little bit of off order in our services than he does having a church with no love for each other in the congregation. Amen? The greatest of all commandments is love one another as I have loved you. It's actually called the 13th or the 11th commandment. Amen? The first two commandments say what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The last day's church will be marked, I believe, by a fire hot love for people, for God, and for the world at large who needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why Satan is so hell-bent on putting offenses and bitterness and anger in Christians' lives. Because when he does that, it negates the love that God places in them by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Amen. May our love grow stronger, not weaker, in these last days. Restoration ministry provokes hostility. We can get so lost in doing things the right way in our church services, we lose sight of who God wants to touch in the services. Amen. Now, praise God at Tree of Life Church. Even Anthony Holsabaugh, our last guest speaker, said the same thing I hear time and time again by our guest speakers. They said, we cannot believe, as we go to churches across this nation and speak as guest ministers, we can't believe how hungry and receptive and attentive your people are at Tree of Life Church. So we most churches we go to in America today, they look bored. They are texting. They look like they're off in la-la land somewhere. During worship and praise time, their hands are folded for the most part. They don't lift their hands or praise God or worship God. We don't see that relationship with God that they should be there. So I'm impressed by what I'm seeing in your congregation, the Tree of Life Church, as far as the nation goes as a whole. Saying all of that, we still can do better. Amen? I can do better. I can have even more of God's life in my life for you guys and for the world at large than I've got even to this day. I won't be content by what guest speakers say, though I'm glad for things they do say in a good way. I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ is every day of my life. But it does provoke hostility. Amen? We've even seen things in this church here. As a prophetic voice came out here about a month ago and came and went. We've seen hostile things take place in little pockets here and there. And that always, always happens. We had prophets come through our church in Wichita, Kansas, about sometimes 2 to 3 times a year. There'd always be some minor attacks take place upon individuals' minds, their families perhaps, their life, the church finances, things like that get attacked. You cannot let that distract you nor discourage you from still seeking after restoration by God's power and by God's help. It just means you're on the right track, you're threatening Satan, he's getting upset, and damage is coming into his kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't welcome turmoil, I don't welcome hostilities, but I do see them as signs we're on the right track and God is going before us and breakthroughs are coming that God wants to bring. Third thing about restoration, number three is restoration is the remaking of that which is lost. The remaking of things or of those things which are lost. The word restore in the dictionary, it says to bring back to use that which was once useful, but is useful no more. To bring back to use those things that were useful, but now today, they're not useful. Jesus Christ himself said that, I think whenever you take and you have some chaff, or you have I think it's a stick or some wood that's been burned up, what good is it now to mankind? It's no good at all but to be burned up. Well, that means there, I think, also in the spiritual realm, let the fire of God be applied to anything that is useless in your life today, and God will take those ashes of being burned up and bring something beautiful from that, as only he can do when it's placed into his hands. Amen? Do you realize that a nation, a local church, an individual can actually wither like that man's withered hand that day? A whole nation can start withering. Individuals can start withering. Local churches can start withering. How does that take place? They're not exercising the Spirit of God in their midst any longer or in the right way. Amen? That takes place. That's why it's important to be exercising our freedoms in our nation. If America quits exercising its freedoms, it will lose its freedoms. Amen? It'll simply lose those things. It'll go away by not exercising the freedoms of God's given to us by his own power, by warriors and by troops and so forth in times gone by. In the realm of our spiritual realm, if we don't exercise the gifts of the Spirit inside of us, those things can atrophy and become useless and no longer be used in a vital way in our lives on the earth. You guys have prophesied, again, years ago, need to re-prophesy once again. Amen? You guys that laid hands on the sick and folks got recovered need to be doing that once again in your life. God is not finished with those giftings he's placed in your life. You guys that were Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, those things that God placed inside your heart for children, God may want to rekindle those things and bring those things back to the surface once again in this hour because our children need you. Our preschoolers need you. Our babies need you. Our youth need you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys also involved here today who have giftings that God says has no repentance. May God breathe on those giftings once again. May they be exercised and restored back to normalcy, back to wholeness, and utilized for God's glory in this hour and season. Number four, a prophetic church is called to restoration. I believe one of the main marks of Tree of Life Church is we are a prophetic church. And also I see more and more coming anointing to this congregation for evangelism. Now, because we're prophetic, again, we have the ability and anointing from that prophetic anointing to be those that restore what's been lost and made useless in people's lives amongst us and beyond us also in the highways and byways of life. One of the abilities of the prophet is they can not only read your mail about where you live, about your past, about your future, about what God's got in store for your life, they can also be placed in any atmosphere and begin discerning quickly what God is doing in the atmosphere they're standing in, any place they go. I saw Anthony Holsabus again as he was here at our church. We put him out on our property to stand out here on the land of our property next to our church building. He began to pick up things very fast. He saw things that were causing our church to be hidden. He saw things there about the past waste. He said, I see this church, this building, this land here has got a spirit of worthlessness. He says, and I see a kind of a dump type thing on your land. I said, well, the matter of fact is, when this land was first purchased over 15 years ago, it was actually used for a construction dump. And the trucks came here and dumped their concrete, their dirt and garbage on this land up front. They smoothed the whole thing out, brought some fill in, and smoothed the whole thing over there. And now it's a place of worth. And a place that's getting more and more valuable. So he said, yeah. He said he'd be praying that more and more worth comes to the land, to the people, to the church, that no longer is there a hiddenness among the folks. And so things you begin discerning there again by being in the atmosphere of that, we're praying those things will come to pass more and more among the people of our congregation and in this church as well. Prophetic people can be put in an atmosphere and start sensing what God's doing among us, good or bad. And things that God wants to shore up there can be focused in on also to bring forth more benefit to them. They know how to interpret what is happening all around them, also in their society. How many folks know that in Austin, Texas, there are certain spirits and atmospheres in our city? Some good and some bad. I want to remind you guys again, when I first came to the city back in 1994, I went to the public library in Round Rock, Texas, and got out a book on the history of Williamson County. You may not realize this, but Williamson County had one of the biggest revivals our nation's ever known back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. It was so powerful there that one story said that a farmer who refused to go to church on a Sunday and not work on a Sunday had a meteorite appear over his farm, explode on his crop, and burn his crop up. That's how strong God's Spirit was moving in Williamson County about 100 years ago in this area. Don't tell me this place is owned by the devil and by spirits that will eat you up and spit you out if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. God's got a godly praying heritage in this city that wants to be re-tapped into in Jesus' name. It's called junkyard wars all over again. Devil, you may see junkyards all around this place of broken churches, broken families, broken congregations, church splits, and whatever else. But I'm saying out of those junkyards and ashes, God's going to raise up a mighty army and a mighty warring church once again in Austin, Texas. Amen? You got to believe that and know that. Those guys, again, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, those guys over 100 years ago, they prayed prayers of seed in the Spirit that God wants to water in this era and this season as only God can do. That's why there's right now so many people in our church and our city talking about evangelism, soul winning, people coming back to Christ. Amen? Let's look now in our Bibles. Let's go find the book of Joel. Joel's in the Old Testament. It's called a minor prophet. It's about 70 pages before Matthew chapter 1. Go to Matthew 1 and turn back about 70 pages. You'll find Joel chapter 2. The minor prophets are hard to find. They're all jumbled together. They're not in any kind of order that's kind of easy to memorize, but Joel's right there among all the minor prophets, about 70 pages before Matthew chapter 1. So in Joel chapter 2, this is again a verse that was written not in the ground but in the heavens for the birthing of the charismatic movement in America in 1970s, 1980s. It's where it said, we sang songs like, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm. Those guys, they birthed that Spirit of God movement in our nation by God's presence, by God's prophetic voice, by God's desire and will. And praise God for them. But I hear God saying these words also today in the year 2013. Joel 2:25 says this. So I will restore. Let's say that word together, restore. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. the crawling insect locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you, I will restore, is what God is saying to us in this voice, in this word. This word came to the prophet Joel when he looked around him and saw the atmosphere of Israel. And he said, all I see is locusts, big and small, eating every part of the spiritual plant and the fabric and the foundations of the nation of Israel. I'm a prophet of God. I hear God. I see what God's doing. And I just see big locusts all around this place in the spiritual realm, eating up everything God did years gone by. The good news is God's still alive, though, is what Joel says. And God is saying, now I will restore everything the locust, small locust, medium locust, chewing locust, crawling locust has stolen from you, because I am the Lord your God. I'm hearing the same voice today at Tree of Life Church for Austin, Texas, for our nation as well. God will restore the years that the locust has chewed and eaten, says the Lord. The locust is a universal symbol of an unyielding destroyer that could actually come upon a nation, upon a church, upon a family, upon an individual. The good news is God has got divine raid. He can put to death any locust. He's got locust poison. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. It's called the Spirit of the Living God. It's called the prophetic voice of the Lord that can kill any locust the enemy looses against us in this hour. Amen. But America today is not exempt from the locust. We see around us how the locust is eating our nation. We see wildfires right now like never before in Arizona, in Colorado, in California. The drought's moving to the west, and it's getting drier and drier every day in the states of our western part of our country, like it was here last year. And we see even Austin, Texas themselves getting drier and drier. We see our lake drying up, Lake Travis. We see lakes getting shallower and lower. And then we see in the northern part, we see floods coming there, record floods that are washing away and eroding banks. We see in the east part of our nation, the hurricane called Sandy washed away much of the banks and the beaches and so forth of our eastern part of our nation. We're seeing things take place as well, like tornadoes that are bigger than ever have been seen before. There was a 2-mile-wide tornado in Oklahoma City only a few weeks ago that almost killed our main weatherman from the Weather Channel there, a guy named Mike Bettis. And they said, we've never, ever, ever seen a tornado 2 miles wide in our country like we saw this one in Oklahoma City only a few weeks ago. I told you guys that you're going to start seeing and hearing the words, I've never seen this before, again and again and again, until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen. We also see in our own public, our scene around us, we see how our own economy can go through eroding times, withering times. They're saying in science that our bees and our beehives are dying out by the millions. We're finding bees are getting more and more scarce and rare in America. They don't know why. They don't know what's going on. There's some larva, some parasite attacking our bees in the land of milk and honey. Is somehow drying up. They're finding also that butterflies are going down by the millions of monarchs that fly through Austin, Texas every year. Colonies are getting smaller and smaller and smaller every single year. We're finding so many things withering around us in the natural realm, not just in America, but in nations all over the earth. The locust really is here among us. Even churches, denominations are diminishing. And they're going backwards. And we're seeing our youth, 80% of them, not go to church past age 20 in our country even today. There's a withering of the hand in our country, and the locust is here among us in our nation. So what should we do knowing these things? Be a prophetic voice of God. Be the Joel voice of God, because God is still alive. God still loves our nation. God still loves our cities. God loves His people. God loves the local church. And God has good things in store for us. But He says, those things you bind on earth, they will be bound in heaven. And those things you loose on this earth, they will be loosed in the heavens. Nothing is impossible for our God. And I believe God's revival is coming to His people once again in this nation, this city, this region, in Jesus' name. God said, I will restore everything the locust has eaten. And then He says, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit then upon all flesh. God restores first, and then God pours out His Spirit afterwards, after doing that. Amen? So understand what God's pattern is also in the Bible. Last of all, number 5, before we pray today, There are keys to personal restoration in your life. There are keys to that. Joel chapter 2 talks about these three keys that God gives us for personal restoration. Number one, first thing is, there must be repentance. Again, repentance does not mean come to the altars and cry tears. It means my mind now thinks this, but God got a hold of my mind, and now I think this. You see, there's Christians that think it's okay to tear each other down, and it's okay to attack authorities and pastors. It's okay to come against the churches. It's okay to go ahead and do things of a carnal nature throughout the entire week and then worship God on a Sunday morning like this. But God says, if you can't do this, you can't do this. Amen. And God's also saying to us, it's time for us to love each other, but also do things that's in our eye gates, our ear gates, our heart gates, that actually brings forth edification, not destruction, to us. You can't live a double life, serving the flesh and serving God at the same time, and expect to have God's revival break loose upon the nations and upon this earth. Amen? So there must, first of all, be repentance. It starts with a change of mind by the rhema, revelation of God coming into your mind and your heart. Joel 2:12 verifies this. In Joel 2:12, he says, to restore Israel once again, first of all, he says, now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So he says again, turn first, get your mind changed first. Then because of that, your heart will change. There'll be fasting break loose. There'll be weeping break out. There'll be mourning happen because you'll see sin the way I see sin, is what God is saying there. How many folks have ever experienced a divine mourning, weeping because you saw sin the way God did? Anybody ever experienced that in this whole congregation? I want to say, if you've never experienced that, I'd spend a whole day just praying to God, Father God, show me sin the way you do. Because I didn't experience that till I was 20 years old. I was born again for 9 years, never experienced seeing sin and feeling sin the way God does. How many folks know that the prayer of Jabez is where Jabez prophesied and had God's mind and said, Father God, help me not produce pain in your heart. That's really true, and really, you could actually cause pain. In fact, the Bible says in Noah's flood, it says, God's heart was always grieved and full of pain all the time. And so he killed all of mankind except for Noah and his family. God can feel pain from sin. Amen? And I think God's heart right now has got some pain in that that he wants relieved, because we are those that are going to bring forth that relief like Tylenol PM and say, Father God, I want to grieve and mourn like you do over sin for my city. And through that, I know that mourning may last for an evening, but joy will come in the morning. Amen? Amen? Joy will come by those who weep. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And those who sow with mourning and weeping, the Bible says, will come back carrying sheaves with them of harvest in their lives. It goes on here and says, next of all, rend your hearts. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is great in kindness. Praise God for that. He relents from doing harm to any people. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Praise God. It begins with changing our minds and saying, Lord God, let my mind line up with your mind. Let my thoughts line up with your thoughts. And those things that are above your thoughts, may they be totally cast down with your help and your grace in Jesus' name. Secondly, for restoration to take place, you need to make a commitment to love the gathering of God's people. You must love the gathering of God's people. I'm speaking to the choir now this morning. You guys love God, love coming together like this, or you wouldn't be here. Amen? We've got the best restaurants in America in Austin, Texas. You could be at those restaurants. We've got great beaches. We've got great entertainment. We've got 55 million channels on television. There's so many things you guys could be doing right now besides this. And so God says, thank you for being here, because you need to love being together. It only brings good things to God's kingdom and your life as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Joel 2:15 talks about this. It says, now notice this also. This talks about, I just saw this for the first time on Friday. Joel 2:15 and 16 describes every room in a local church in 2013. This is written way back before local churches even existed in history. Every room mentioned here in Joel 2:15, 16. First of all, he says here, number one, blow the trumpet in Zion. What is that? The praise team, the worship team. Talked about first of all, blow the trumpet in Zion. Next of all, consecrate a fast. What's that talk about? clear out your kitchen. Take your church kitchen and clear that thing out and call a fast, says the Lord. What does he say next of all? Consecrate or call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. What is that? That's a sanctuary. Talked about by God right there. Next of all, it says this. Assemble the elders. What is that? That's all the offices where the assistant pastor, youth pastor, children's pastor, all the elders are in those offices. He says, clear those out. Bring those guys together. Next of all, he says here, gather the children and the nursing babies. What is that? Youth room, children's church room, nurseries. Bring them all together to serve and praise and worship the Lord their God. Then last of all, it says, let the bridegroom go from the chamber and the bride from her dressing room. How many folks know that fancy churches have got actually rooms for bridegrooms and bridesmaids for weddings? We don't have that yet. It's called the men's and women's restroom. Okay? But no, really, our brides that do get married here, they really can use one of our nursery rooms, which is better than our my office, okay, for their place to get changed. But it says every room in a local church in 2013 is talked about back in Joel 2:15 and 2:16. He says here, touch every area of a local church and bring them all together for my holy desires upon a people that need to go through restoration in their lives. God's people congregating is not just in the Old Testament, it's also found in the New Testament. Let's look now at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 on the screen, I think, as well. Hebrews 10, 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves or ourselves together, as is the manner and habit of some people, but exhorting each other, notice that, exhorting each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's that mean? It means that if you see Billy Bob has been gone for 3 weeks or 2 weeks at church, exhort them to get back in church again. Get their phone number. Call them up. Say, I missed you. I missed you being here. I miss your face. Please come back to church once again. We need to congregate together in Jesus' name. And it says here also, the last part says, notice what it says, capital letters, as you see the day approaching. What is that? What's the day? The day that Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. How many agree that day is coming? Probably pretty soon. Well, it says here, especially as that day approaches, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That is Dr. Jesus, Dr. God, giving a prescription that says, do this or you're going to find yourself getting in trouble in the last days. God knows what's best for you. Amen? This is called an antibiotic. Okay? You need this thing. As the day approaches, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner and habit of some already is. Last of all, number three, third thing is, it takes a passionate, loving, and caring congregation to bring forth restoration on an ongoing basis to God's people. Joel 2:17 says this, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God. Do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Joel 2:17. God is saying it takes passion and zeal and love for God and for his people to bring restoration back to his church these last days. Let's read now Joel 2:21, because there is a reward for doing these things. God rewards us. Joel 2:21 gives a reward to us through 24. It says, fear not, O land. Be glad, rejoice. For the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field that are suffering droughts and have no crops. I want to add that's what it's saying there. For the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit once again. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he'll also cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with his new wine as well as oil upon the place that's called Zion. God rewards us with fat vats, lots of wheat, lots of grain, not only a gallon of oil and wine, but whole vats full of that, to become drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be full of God's grace, God's oil, God's anointing, God's joy, and God's strength in these last days. That's what God's desire is for us. What God does is God gives us new beginnings. It might be like Cheryl and I that birthed this church or took this church over. I'm sorry to say. I want to correct myself. We didn't birth this church. We took this church over 10 years ago. It was new beginnings for us. And what God is saying here is when new beginnings take place that God births in your life, there'll always be the seed inside of you sown in that new soil. Then God will faithfully bring forth rains upon the seed that's inside of you. It'll bring forth a quick sprouting of a crop to begin with. You've all seen out there in the country time where they plant alfalfa, they plant corn, and then the springtime comes and the sprouts start coming up. You say, oh boy, there better be some rain a few months from now or else these sprouts will never become what they're supposed to become in the earth. And so what I'm saying here is, in the life of Tree of Life Church as well, this church was very, very blessed. We had the sproutings take place. The waterings took place. Our daycare had over 120 kids going to it. Our church had folks who were giving tremendous tithes and offerings at the same time. We were so blessed here as time was going by. We saw the church getting packed out. We saw ourselves have $100,000 to pay in cash down for the land behind us towards that purchase. We had $200,000 in cash to pay on this 30-foot addition towards this. We saw the whole place get repainted, restructured, recarpeted there. Things being done upstairs, downstairs, lives being changed, lives being transformed. We saw thousands going to missions around the world in donations and so forth and so on. We're seeing all these good things take place as sproutings happen there. Then it seems as about 5 years ago went by, it's like God said, okay, your sprouting season, your first rain, former rain season is now coming to an end. And now for phase two, the prophet talked about that three weeks ago. For phase two to come there, for the new rains, the latter rains to come, there must be now a new shifting in the realm of the Spirit to now water what I planted in this place. We have a whole lot to be thankful for at Tree of Life Church right now. But I want to say it was only phase one. It was only the plantings and the sproutings and the first rains that God gave that God wanted to start things in a real powerful way to begin with. The foundations are here. Praise God, the building looks good. The grounds look good. The people look good. We're now poised for the next phase that God has for us in this local church. That second phase is the latter rains that God wants to send upon us in the realm of the Spirit. And part of that is us getting restored of things that's been robbed from us, things that are withered up, being healed in our lives. That all bitterness, all anger, all religious things, all things of poverty, all things of unbelief, all things of fear and bondage, those things be broken off of people's lives here first, and then out there more so as time goes by. Do you agree with that? God is saying phase two means you guys take ownership of this church, of this place, of yourselves, of your lives, and your walk with God. And God's going to bless that and bring forth the latter rains. When the former rains have gone, the latter rains must come to bring forth a fruit that is mature for harvest in Jesus' name. As you have James come back to the platform right now, please, James, and help me out. Just play something softly if you would. I want to close and say the good news about Joel 2 is, but after God pours out His Spirit upon the people of Israel, He then pours out His Spirit upon all flesh next of all. If God has His way in our lives in this church, this local church called Tree of Life Church, it will not just affect your lives. It will affect the people on this wall right here. He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh, not just your flesh. Amen? We understand that God's already done the work on the day of Pentecost, that all men who call upon the name of Jesus Christ can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. That work's already been done. But the Bible also says there are still things called times of refreshing, and there are still things called seasons of rain and seasons of drought and dryness. I want to opt into rain times. I want to opt into floodgates being opened up. I don't want to buy into gates being closed and drought coming and dryness and leanness of soul happening. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 is a verse that God gave me on Friday for this church. And it says, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, That's a key word there that often comes upon it. And then bears herbs that are useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings then from God. God has got hidden blessings for Tree of Life Church and all the folks that are in this church as well. Because we know that herbs, what do herbs do? Herbs bring healing to your body. Certain herbs will help your pancreas, they'll help your kidneys, they'll help your liver, they'll help your brain, they'll help your memory. Herbs are healing, restorative, energizing things that God made to bless your life. And what God says in His Word here is when rains come often, the herbs spring up automatically. The rain of God's Spirit will be here among us, I believe, often and more and more and more in the days ahead. It's going to bring forth healing to people. But I want us all to stand to our feet right now. If we would do that, please. Let's all stand to our feet. But I want you guys to do me a favor this morning. And I want to say today as I close this message that what I said to you guys was for there to be restoration, there should be restoration take place in every service we come together in this place. Restoration also, understand, will provoke hostility. You may find folks attack you after church, attack you in church, attack you outside of church, attack you at your workplace, in your families. Restoration always brings demonic hostility. Number three, lost things are restored. Restoration takes place. Number four, a prophetic church is called to restoration. And number five, there is personal restoration in store for every individual in this place, in Jesus' name. I want you guys to do me a favor this morning. If you're a person who can discern or think of one area in your life, it could be a son, a daughter that needs restoration, something withered inside your life, your finances, your marriage, your health, your mind, your joy, your peace. If there's something withered in your life, would you do me a favor this morning and please make your way out of your seats. Go ahead and come to the front. Stand up here. We're going to pray a prayer over all those that come to the front here, a prayer over every person that God's going to take and bring forth personal restoration to the areas of your life that might be withered today that God wants to restore as only He can do. It's time for us to embrace what God wants to do because God loves us, God's for us, God's not against us, and God wants our abilities and our authority restored once again. It brings forth a real black eye to the powers of darkness, but also helps establish what God's doing upon this earth. Praise God. Let's just bow our head and pray right now for a moment. Let's just pray. Father, I praise You and thank You, O God, that You are here today to give us, O Lord, an inner work, O God, of divine restoration. You are the one who sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, in the synagogue that day. In Mark chapter 3, and told the man, stretch out your hand. Stand up. Come forward. Now stretch out your hand towards Me. And as He did that, we all understand His withered hand was made as whole as the other one. What I hear God saying right now, as you guys are here in the front, He's saying that whatever is withered in your life can be restored as whole as it was in times past. That may be, again, relationships. It may be your health. It may be your marriage, your finances. Whatever that thing may be is, God is saying today, I want all you guys right now to stretch your hands out to God. Stretch both your hands out to God right now. I want Cheryl to join me also in prayer behind you guys. We're going to pray right now a prayer of agreement. All things withered in my life are going to be healed and renewed and restored in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now together. Heavenly Father, I am here as Your son or daughter, and I praise You that You are the God that heals, that You are the God that restores, that nothing is too hard for You, that You're the God that brings forth life, that brings forth complete restoration. So I stretch out to You my withered hand, and I say, be healed, be restored, be whole in the name of Jesus. And I receive My miracle, I receive Your promises, and I say the reign of God is upon my heart, my life, my very being, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise You, Father God. Let's just give God again a hand clap of praise right now to seal this, and say, Father, I praise You. I bless You, God. Restoration, oh God, come in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I hear the Spirit of God also saying right now, there's anointing here because of what you guys did now for yourselves, what God did for you guys, you prayed for yourselves. Put it that way. There's now an anointing here also to declare restoration over this land, over this church, over this congregation. Anything is withering in this place. It will wither no longer. It will come, it'll be stretched out, be put in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's going to speak the word over it. It's going to come back to life and be as whole as it was before. Even better things does God have for us in the days ahead than we see in the past. The former rain was there. Praise God for that. We need the latter rain. We need to see the sprouts come up. We need to see the full grains of corn develop. We need to see the full heads of wheat come forth. Let's all pray together right now for this local church, this congregation, this land, in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you, O God. I'm going to ask Cheryl to come to the front here. I need to join hands with her. I need to agree with her in prayer when I pray this. Dr. Flynn, are you here as well? Maybe you can come to the front and join us if you don't mind. We need to join hands and just pray a prayer of agreement. Shannon, what's good to come to the front too? Shannon, just join her hand as one of our head intercessors in the church here. Let's just join hands here. And you're playing there, James. You're also agreeing with us. Father God, we praise you and thank you, O Lord, that you have brought us, O God, to this day. Yes. In June, Father God, the 23rd of 2013, we declare, O God, this land is yours. Yes. This building is yours. Yes. This congregation belongs to you, not to a man, a denomination, a group, a people, or any kind of a group like this, O God. We belong to the living God. Yes. Father, we declare, O God, this day, all things are restored in this land, in this building, in this congregation. All things that have withered, we say, come alive. Come alive. Be full of God's life. Be full of God's wholeness. Be full of God's destiny. These things come to pass here in the name of Jesus. We serve notice right now to the powers of darkness. We bind your desires. We bind your tactics. We say we have nothing of you. What you want to do here will not take place. It will not happen. It is bound, it is broken, and it is shattered in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you, God, that you arise and bring forth healing in your wings. May the latter rain, O God, be poured out upon this church in the name of Jesus. Those things that have sprouted up, we say they're going to grow now to maturity. They're going to bring forth a fruit that remains. The full corn of grain, or grain of corn, the full head of wheat. All these things of God been planted here are going to come to fruition and maturity in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord, and our congregation as well for complete restoration. Restore families, restore marriages, restore individuals, restore destinies, all the things that are withered. May they be restored, O God, this day. This day, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I praise you. I thank you, O God. Praise you, Father. Somebody have something else Holy Spirit's showing you that pertains to this whole thing? If Holy Spirit's giving you a vision or showing you something there, so you need to share a scripture, just make sure you share that because God's going to bring some things, I think, here this morning.